Wait, why are we all whispering?
Whisper. Wait till you see Ma.
Yes. Tell anybody.
Oh, no, I'm gonna start the show that way.
What's up?
What's up?
Oh, God. So, do we tell?
No.
All right, we just bring it back. I know, but it's not back unless other people outside of this trio are doing what I.
Well, speaking of back, I have to address the matter yesterday that mayonnaise came up, and apparently there are a lot of people that are very fond of mayonnaise around this program.
Yeah,
that
a silent majority necessary. Of Americans.
Let me explain to you what mayonnaise is. Colonizer condiment is what a mayonnaiser is. Okay? Not just because of those who use it mostly, but because of its place in the food realm. There is always something that tastes better than mayonnaise around to flavor something with. Always. It's only there for texture, and it tastes like nothing. I don't understand why you wouldn't use
nothing.
Something else.
You may levy many accusations about what mayonnaise may or may not be,
what
supremacist
like?
Movement it may or may not be de facto a part of, but it is certainly a sour condiment that adds great flavor, Clinton, to anything. Corn, elote,
corn?
In Mexico, maybe you've
corn.
Heard of it. Yeah, oh, come
like,
on, guys.
You just like slather your corn in mayonnaise?
Yeah, man, come on. You got a cup, you got a paper cup. This is a lot. It's a Mexican delicacy.
So
come on.
I would love to invent this, but. I was like very confused at why Clinton couldn't let us get more than 30 seconds in before he went to his mayonnaise takes. And then you went, Pablo, and put me squarely on his side. Like,
thank
how
you.
Dare you?
It's thank like, you.
I mean, man, on corn, butter, and salt. I mean, what more? And a little pepper, maybe. Like, that's better than mayonnaise. So I think Clinton might be right.
Red pepper, some mayo, some corn. I mean, guys, you like do you like deli sandwiches? Can we just start from
yes,
the very
with
basics?
Other condiments. Give me a basil pesto. Give me a mustard. Even give me something like a roasted red pepper spread or something. There's always something better than mayonnaise. That's the whole point. Anyway.
Mayonnaise is the Kevin Durant of condiments. It fits in any offense. Any offense, it makes sense. Doesn't need the ball. Just let him fit and dominate.
Doesn't need the ball. Go ahead, Fox. I'm off the show.
No, I mean, I think mayonnaise is more of a glue guy in that around mayonnaise, you can put some stars, and then mayonnaise is okay, and it like blends in, and no one notices it, the work that it's doing. But I don't think that mayonnaise is ever the star of anything. Like, you put mayonnaise in some potato salad. Nobody's like, man, what mayonnaise did you use on that potato salad? You know, there are other things that they are more interested in.
If but mayonnaise is the best player on mayonnaise. Your team, you have a bad team.
Oh,
that's how
you're
that
not
works.
Getting to the playoffs.
Not
you're rebuilding.
Getting to the playoffs, right.
You're looking at the lottery. You're a lottery
mayonnaise,
team.
Mayonnaise has more rings than any other condiment in condiment history.
Wow. Gosh.
Everywhere you look,
it's not
mayonnaise.
Robert Ory. It's not Robert Ory. It's never hit a big shot.
Right.
I also like, Pablo, I give you a hard time. I give you a hard time about how you pronounce certain things. I think you are probably pronouncing this the right way, but colloquially, we've accepted that it's mayonnaise. And you're calling it mayonnaise, which may be right, but it's wrong. It's mayonnaise. What is mayonnaise?
Hold on. Let me try to pronounce it the right way. Hold on. Manos. How are you going
hands?
For?
Is this Spanish hands? What are you talking about? Manos?
Mayonnaise only has
condiment
rings.
Yeah, you're about to catch these manos pretty soon. You keep talking that sack about mayonnaise.
They only have condiment rings like the 27 Yankees and all those teams did before everybody else started showing up. Okay.
Mayonnaise was a pre-integration star.
Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Wow.
That is great.
You guys are jeopardizing the Duke's mayonnaise that Duke's mayonnaise just DM'd me yesterday that they're going to send me for free.
I'm sure that's great. Stop. You and the mayo community can enjoy that, but just don't bring that into this household.
You're messing with my mayo money. You're messing with my mayo
money. All right, well, let's get going then. I don't want to mess with your money now.
I was trying to get us some Budweiser money. I was trying to get us some Budweiser money by going with the voila, and then
I
got to the Duke's slander.
I do appreciate how we are on a state-of-the-art, cutting-edge platform, and at least the days that I'm on, we talk about the oldest stuff. Like, we are bringing back nobody under the age of 32 understands
any idea what was happening. And they shouldn't. You don't want to know what that is. Do not go
okay.
Look it up.
So let's bring the youth in, because we have a podcast now on Debatable. I want everybody to understand that you can watch live, send us tweets, or, you know, ignore us entirely, then spend your night with us later when the feed goes up. But welcome to Debatable. It is a fake live, a fake television show that we really do live. We were just before the cameras came on, listening to and celebrating a Sanford and Son theme song remix that Dominique was playing off of his phone to further drive home the point that all of us are ridiculously old at this point. That is, in fact, Dominique Foxworth, and that is Clinton Yates.
Hi. There's also
here's a
picture of Dominique in my home.
That's me. I was young.
That's him.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoa. Oh, man.
That's wild, right? Yeah, hold on. Here we go. We got the close-up.
What year was this? This is the morning for the podcast audience. This is the morning
80,
roast post.
89 or 90,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
89 or 90. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that looks so old. I don't know. It was way before we knew anything about coronavirus. It was a happier time.
Yes.
Look at that face. It's so
stress-free. Clinton is dressed very cool and casual, and Nina and Dominique look like the guidance counselors who realize that he has a heart of gold.
That happened literally the first day we all met, and it was a whole scene.
I love it. That is the poster for a movie where a troubled youth is like Mina and I fall in love over our shared affection for the troubled youth.
No, you and Mina fall in love when you both try to sit on your chair backwards at the same time to relate to Clinton.
And
who
then
is
we
very
that's
stubborn.
Our meet cute. Just yes. Then we lock eyes and like I know.
This
I
show
like
is
you from the
off,
start.
Off the rails. Off the rails.
Goodness gracious.
There's an acapella scene in that movie. It's
Dangerous
ridiculous.
Minds rom-com is just too much for me.
I should have known.
Are we
going
to talk about anything that's sports related today or no? We're just going to do this.
We can.
About Baltimore Club remixes of Sanford and Son.
You big dummy. I will tell you this. I will tell you this. Hold on.
You big dummy.
I will tell you this about the game yesterday, just to get into it. I knew.
What?
No, just listen. I knew. I think it was the Browns.
Like, first off, Clinton, I like how you're cutting Alabaster out of the show entirely.
It's fine.
You hate mayonnaise so much. You're okay. Cutting out the synonyms for mayonnaise that are constructs.
Go ahead, Alabaster.
Hold us together, Alabaster. Hold us together.
Speaking of mayonnaise, Kirk Cousins did play last night, and our question is: what was your biggest takeaway from last night's football games?
What was your biggest takeaway? I love. When Alabaster's jokes don't land like he thinks they're going to, nothing makes me happier.
Dude, like, Dominique,
his little hand comes in there after a joke misses and it's just a little shaky.
Dominique, this question didn't land. Clinton, you're trying to save Alabaster. Can we just acknowledge how lazy this question is? There
yes,
are two football him. Games and Alabaster hits us with, talk. Like, that's all you
need. No. Okay, hold
What's
on.
Your biggest
hold on. I will save. I will. I will save Alabaster.
Christmas break yet?
I will save Alabaster based on two grounds. One of which is a question I want to ask Dominique, and the second of which is, I knew when I turned on what was it? Browns Raiders. Right? They're playing in Cleveland. It's the middle of the afternoon, and the first penalty gets called in the game. And the ref has his back to the camera. He was standing the wrong way. I was like, oh, my God. He can't even look at the right camera. This is going to be a disaster of a football game. So let me ask you this, Fox. What was the universally worst football game you ever played in where you were just like, man, ain't nobody looking good out here today. You know what I'm saying? Like, and nothing great happened.
It's weather mostly. Like, I'd never had a problem with, like, when everybody's healthy and out there, there are enough, like, NFL players on the field. We've never had this situation before where we're in, like, there aren't enough. You're looking around the roster, you're like, hey, I don't know. Like, the Ravens game, they played really well against the Green Bay Packers, but there were a couple safeties out there playing corner and DBs they just brought up where it's like, I don't know if you would have gotten your chance on the field otherwise. And that is, I mean, it proves the point that we don't really care. We just want football. It doesn't matter. You put it on. Yes. I bet the numbers for yesterday's game like dwarf any other sporting event of the entire year because we're Americans and we love football.
Imagine being hit with that statistical factoid. 15 million people watched a game where the Browns were missing 10 starters last night in the middle of a union negotiation, right? Guys, people watched Nick Mullins.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get more out of us? No, I mean, look, obviously, if we're going to save Alabaster even further here, right, there's a clear hierarchy to last night's games. Like, the Raiders-Browns game was at the very least entertaining, right?
Was it?
The late game, dude. Well, at least it was close. It came down to the last second. I mean, again, I kind of only tuned in for, like, the last 5 minutes.
Right. I was like, you clearly didn't watch that game if you thought it was entertaining.
Guys, it's pretty clear that I didn't watch either of these games by now, I hope. I've been filibustering for about
like 10 minutes
into this.
That's what we're here for, Pablo. Stop talking. If you don't have anything to say, also, then just let me and Clinton do the work.
Question.
All right.
We'll
go
to
work.
The next topic. Question. Let me ask you a question, Dominique. Did you know before today who Nick Mullins even was, or before yesterday?
Oh yeah. No, because I remember he was a part of the Shanahan revolution when he had a couple good games for San Francisco when Garoppolo was hurt, and we all were talking about, hey, Shanahan can do it with anybody.
Okay,
like, I remember that. There was another was it started with a B? That was the other quarterback.
Bethard.
Yeah, Beathard, something like Beathard. That. But
CJ Beathard or Beathard, I believe, is how I learned to say it eventually.
Beathard? Who tagged you in?
Dominique and I are trying to have a name some random guys combo. And you're out here making jokes. No, I'm kidding.
Heartbeats? The five heartbeats?
I didn't know who Nick Mullins... Nick Mullins had fallen off my radar as far as people I remembered existed. So that was always news to me. We've had a lot of sightings in the past couple weeks. Just really weird.
Yep. A lot of like, oh, that guy is now employed again.
Pablo's defense, the Browns Raiders game was more entertaining in part because it was earlier in the day.
Yeah.
So like I had things going on, and by the time that I could devote full attention to it, it was tight. It was suspense then. I didn't
That's what
care
happened to me.
At that point. It's like how I feel when I watch some of these shows that my kids like, where it's like the show all the way up until the end, like I don't really care about. And then I realize, oh, I'm invested. I hope this cartoon squirrel survives. That's how I felt watching the Browns in the Raiders. I was like, eh, this game is trash. I don't really care about this. And I was like, oh, it's a 1-point difference with a couple of seconds left.
With the entire, and by the way, with the AFC North, like, the whole hierarchy on the line, right? Alabaster does do some good work here, pointing out via card, podcast listeners. That's what you miss out on when you don't watch us live.
Ooh.
There's a paper card that says the Browns would have been in first place in the AFC North if they won last night. But because they lost on that last second field goal by the Raiders kicker, who hit 2 48-yarders in a row because they called the timeout on the first one, didn't count, but nailed it anyway, they are now in last place. Last place. And it is week 16, is it? Where are we right now? Almost in week 16?
Nobody from the AFC North is going to the Super Bowl. Not happening.
Yeah, that is
just safe not to happening. Bet. So.
I think that timeout trick, I think I was on the Mike Shanahan-led Broncos team that first employed that timeout trick where you walk over and you call a timeout just before they snap the ball, and it actually worked that time. I think more often than not, it probably backfires. Like I my guess is getting that practice kick is probably nice for those guys as opposed to having to do it twice. I don't know. I wonder what the numbers are on that.
Well, listen, if you're going from that far and you're on the road, hell yeah, it helps. You know what I'm saying? Because you get used to the situation. Like in that specific moment, it was obvious that the guy was like, okay, sweet. I got to practice one. He hit the second
hit
one better than he hit the first one. The first one barely went in. Second one was like straight down the middle. I was like, oh, that was really stupid. It was the most Browns game possible in that scenario. Yeah. Goofball reschedule. You guys are down everybody and you lose at the last second at home. Just, you know, disappointing everyone in Ohio.
The saddest part for the Browns to me is this is an excusable loss, but they've wasted all their losses. Like they blew them all early in the season because this right now, I would be willing to go out there and defend the Browns. I'm like, well, coach is out. They're down to their third quarterback. Injuries all over. COVID's a problem. Got to reschedule the game. This team that expects to be in contention is really getting screwed at this moment. However, they kind of been doing it to themselves all season long. So, like, I understand you can excuse away this one. But, again, they're in this division where they went from a season of disappointment to leading the division based on one field goal or two field goals, as we just explained.
Pablo, you've got me all acclimated to playing to the podcast listeners now. And what they are also missing are Dominique's Christmas decorations. Is that an advent calendar behind you? What are we looking at here, Fox?
We got – what's this? We got an advent calendar right here.
There it is. I knew it. Your boy was on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Santa Claus hates me.
It's a black Santa Claus, y'all.
And this is something that I think belonged to my wife's grandmother at some point. Oh. I don't know what it does.
Okay.
This is a coming soon advertisement for our beloved Santa Claus.
Oh. Look at this.
Are you the worldwide leader in black Santa iconography?
Let's go. What you mean?
I think it's unnecessary. Like, the adjective is unnecessary. Like,
thank you.
The man's name is Santa. Is it not?
And let me tell you something. No white man is coming through my chimney unabated. You know what I'm saying? Unless he looks like I'll tell you that much.
I have to clarify something here for both the podcast listeners and also just myself. Are you telling me that you guys have, like, relatives named Santa? Is that a thing you're suggesting by implication here?
I don't have relatives named Santa, but, I mean, there is one Santa, and we all know that. It's like I wouldn't come up and say, good morning, Black Clinton.
Yeah.
Like, it seems unnecessary.
Exactly.
Like, I didn't start this show with, like, hello, this is Black Dominique. This is Black Clinton. We're here with Asian Pablo. Like, I didn't do that. So
Pablo is very helpful because it gets confusing.
That's true.
You've accidentally proven the entire point of my question.
Separately, though, Pablo, I feel like you are surprised to see that Dominique has this much Black Santa stuff. Black folks have plenty Black Santa stuff. We just don't necessarily walk about the cabin discussing it. It's just what exists in the home. Just wanted you to know that.
I'm confused at where you guys get that other Santa stuff from.
Thank
where is the white Santa stuff? I buy Santa's memorabilia and merchandise. You go buy mayonnaise Santa. I'm confused where you get it from. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I'm gonna go by Filipino Santa. If a debatable listener wants to make me Filipino Santa or make me into a Filipino Santa, no. Feel free to use my name, image, and likeness.
Do not open yourself up to that.
Pablo Claus.
Oh my goodness, that's Pablo Claus.
So can we just say this about the late game, that Vikings-Bears games? It was terrible and it was uninteresting. Because that's my position generally, but Alabaster, is there anything we should discuss off of that besides the fact that the Bears have lost 8 of their last 9 games? Great. Seems to be more logs on the fire of not giving a crap.
I think there are a few interesting things. Like, one, how does Matt Nagy still have a job? We thought he was going to get fired before Thanksgiving. Are we creating any permanent scar tissue for a quarterback like Justin Fields?
Is that all those things you could have said? I mean, this is part of your point, Alabaster, so I understand why you bring it up. But that's a sentence we could have clipped and played like 2 months ago, and it all would have applied, right? All of those concerns. How does Matt Nagy still have a job? Is he ruining Justin Fields' career? All stuff we've been saying since like October.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have to we anticipate that this job will be open soon. A conversation that we had earlier today on Get Up is like, what's the more attractive job between that and Jacksonville, which is also open, and I guess the Raiders will be open too.
See, that's how you invent a bullshit question.
You just gotta whip it up. You just gotta whip it up. Just whip it. You know what people like? First ingredient, always quarterbacks.
Yes.
Second ingredient,
major markets. Yeah,
major markets. Yeah, big names. And then you just keep whipping it, and then at the end, you say Cowboys, and then you're done. So you ask a question. That's the recipe for a great ESPN question.
By the way, did you see what the football team did today in the pettiest of petty moves after the Cowboys put their own benches on their bench? The football team is now bringing benches to Philly in the most JV beta move I've ever seen in my life. Like, so lame.
That's so lame.
Man. It's embarrassing.
What a bunch of big dummies, Alabaster.
Yes, correct.
You big dummy.
You big dummy.
Is that the greatest catchphrase in the history of sitcom television?
I lean towards Bernie Mac in a similar vein. I ain't scared of you MFers. You know what I'm saying? That's always funny to me, but you know,
I was thinking, that's just me. That's like That was from the stand-up, though. I was thinking, like, sitcom.
Oh, that's
like,
true.
What you talking about, Willis?
He did say that on the Bernie Mac show, but he didn't say it the same way. You're right.
Did I do that?
I was going to say, did
the Bernie
I
Mac
do
show
that?
Was on, the Bernie Mac show was on Fox. He couldn't hit that line the way you want to hit that line.
That's true. I feel like he did, though, but I guess he really did.
Steve Urkel, did I do that, was a classic.
Yeah, that's on my medal stand.
Not the mama.
Not the mama. Oh, the God. Mama. Wait, hold on. You guys remember, I mean, this is a thing that I hope the kids will one day look up because we're talking about it here. You guys remember the Dinosaurs sitcom referring to the finale? You remember the finale?
I mean, no. I remember the show. I remember the dad used to dress. The dad, the dinosaur dad.
We have the rights to play that video.
Dressed like the brawny man. You know what I'm saying?
I'm old. Pablo, if you play it on your phone, we can get away with a little bit of it.
All right, so describe while I look this up what dinosaurs was so that people can understand.
If I remembered, I would tell you. I just remember the dad.
No, he's saying describe the show. He's saying describe the show. So the show was like a classic sitcom style show, but instead of people, they had people in large plasticky looking dinosaur costumes. The main kind of breakout character was a little pink dinosaur baby that would say not the mama to the father because he didn't really like him and like hit him with pans and stuff. What's up, Alabaster?
I think our viewers are actually looking at three dinosaurs right now.
Wow. How dare you.
Good one. Okay.
Okay, so check it out. It's like Christmas time.
Stan, I have to apologize to you.
Yeah, sure. I hope you get a message right now that's embarrassing.
Oh my God, that'd be terrible. Hold on. This is also, so basically here, it's getting cold and this is the finale of the whole series.
Is this your worst idea yet? Like, you have some bad ideas.
Hold on.
Is this the worst one you've had
yet? Hold on. We're fast forwarding. Okay, so this is how it ends.
Are they gonna, like, get hit with a meteor or something? Oh, the Ice Age. Is that what's happening? Are they dying? Extinction of dinosaurs?
That's pretty smart. I like that.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah. That's a good call.
So what the podcast listener can't see is that...
This makes it a great entertainment product, by the way. Showing things on phones on a visual medium.
Oh, wait, hold on. Snow,
darkness, Pablo Vier.
This is Howard Handelman. Good night.
I'm sorry.
It's depressing.
Goodbye.
I'm sorry. What is that name? Howard Handelman? What is that mean?
Yeah, I don't know what that deal was, but we just watched.
I'm taking the steering wheel. I'm taking the steering wheel.
Pobloviating.
I'll admit, real quick, hand up.
I thought there was a comment that actually appeared in the show.
But it was just implied by the ice.
Stop it. Alabaster, give us another topic. I'm taking the wheel because I'm not going to let Pablo drive us into a ditch.
Thank you.
Not the mama.
It's sort of too late, but thank you.
Yes, I'm going to try to get us out of this.
All right, moving on to our next one. Should the NFL and NBA follow the NHL and press pause on their seasons?
Oh, it's hard to pivot off of.
Yeah,
so my years of epidemiology has led me to a position where I cannot actually give you an accurate assessment of the situation. I mean, I think the argument for being as safe as possible is always there, obviously. But there is a... understanding that these people, for the most part, are vaccinated and healthy, and the Omarion variant is pop locking and dropping it. However, it is not nearly as lethal as the other variants, but we don't want to spread it. So, like, my final assessment is none of us are actually qualified to make this call. It seems like they figured out a way to make it work so far.
Well, hold on. Fox, let me ask you this, not just in terms of your non-epidemiology history, but in terms of your labor history. Where does this fall in terms of what you know and what you think, you know, you would have been in if that was the situation? I mean, like, this is a weird one. These guys want to work and they can't, although that there's a reason why they shouldn't. This has got to be difficult from that front.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very difficult, but for by and large, the players want to play, and they understand that their money is tied in large part to them playing, or at least the future labor piece is tied to them making money for the owners and them making money themselves. So it's going to be hard to find a group, be it the league or the players, who is going to want to stop playing. I'm sure there's individuals in both of those cohorts who feel like that, but by and large, everybody wants to keep the season going by any means necessary.
So I know I torpedoed my credibility by playing approximately 1.5 minutes of a clip that the podcast audience could not see.
Didn't
live up to the hype. But I do have thoughts about this because, number one, we did yesterday's episode of ESPN Daily about it. We talked to an actual like public health expert, Dr. Joseph Allen, who made me a lot smarter about this insofar as I can now steal his arguments to make you guys smarter, and you can steal this stuff as well. The new thing today that I want to sort of bring up here is that the NHL has announced that they are pausing the season, right? They're suspending the season. It's an alert. We got it on our phones. The reality is that the NFL, or rather the NHL, the hockey league, that one, that sport, they already had a Christmas break coming up.
Yeah.
So what they're really doing is saying, we're going to postpone games for a couple days, and then we'll get into the Christmas break, and we'll be back on Monday. So it's not so much a, like, we got to step back and reassess. It's very much a deliberate, we're actually going to play some games today, even though they suspended all of this via announcement yesterday, and we're going to come back on Monday. And off of that, the NHL is going to possibly pull out of the Beijing Olympics with this as the pretense, even though the real reason they may actually want to get out of there is because they really don't like the COVID protocols and or all the other stuff that the Beijing Olympics will impose on them. So there is some like self-serving strategy in terms of the framework of this, Clint.
If I met, you're right about that part. And I think that delineation is important for those of you young sports fans listening at home. If you're arguing with your friends, the NHL, the NFL, and the NBA are three completely different constituencies that have different situations.
Yes.
The NFL plays games outside. The NBA has a much smaller labor force in terms of the roster sizes. The NHL also deals with international travel much more frequently. So they all have different decisions to make on the same front. To that point, if I'm the NBA, I'm definitely canceling games because of exactly what I just said. There are not enough players to go around, and you cannot lose your stars for mega important moments, whether that's from a health standpoint or from a broadcast standpoint. Pablo, I really do think that the NBA has more to lose by playing games with bad players than these other leagues do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL is best positioned to do it, in part because of things you said, like them playing outside, and also in part because, as we just pointed out, the labor force, as much as I hate to admit this, the labor force doesn't matter to the fans. Like, they show up to watch games, with exception of like two guys per team or less. Like, the general fans don't know anyone outside of the quarterbacks.
Oh, you mean
so
in football?
So if you put them out there, did I say the wrong thing?
No. I got you.
Yeah, having the games outside, also having largely faceless players on the field, like, it makes it so that the fan doesn't feel like they're missing anything. I think they are well positioned to keep this going as long as possible. But it seems like Pablo's frozen, but I was going to ask him a harder question, not why the NHL is doing this, but like, what should we be doing if he talked to a real expert? Because I don't know what the answer to the question is. Like, I think my instinct is just to shut everything down. It's like my first instinct. Pablo, what did the expert tell you was like the best possible?
So here's the thing about what Dr. Joseph Allen.
This is even better.
This is where we take the time to make fun of what he's wearing.
We can hear Pablo on the broadcast. You guys just can't talk to him.
Oh, okay. Wait. All right, Pablo.
Oh, wait, there I am. Hello.
Okay,
hello.
I'm back.
Okay, great. I was going to steal some arguments. So Dr. Joseph Allen, what he said, and he made me actually cautiously optimistic about all of this, is that, look, the reality is Omicron and the virus is so pervasive at this point that we should all pretty much steel ourselves for the reality that we're all going to get this at some point, right? So basically what this indicates is that what the sports leagues have to sort of contemplate here is, how do you live with the virus, right? And so the idea of, well, do you test asymptomatic, fully vaccinated athletes? You know, this is a controversial thing because the whole thing is, we got to test everybody. That's sort of how we've been reared on pandemic wisdom for a really long time. What he says in agreement with these leagues actually is that asymptomatic vaxxed athletes, they don't need to be regularly tested as often, right? We're going to have to assume that everybody pretty much is going to have this at some point. And so the question then emerges, right? Okay, well, then how worried should we be? And what these leagues are finding out about Omicron in specific, the NFL has just published this information. Again, grain of salt, it's from the league itself, but I find that their science on this stuff is actually, you know, not entirely suspicious. They've done a pretty admirable job in terms of at least being rigorous in terms of getting experts and stuff to weigh in on this. 2/3 of the guys who've contracted the virus in this whole period have been asymptomatic and vaccinated, right? The NBA is finding similarly eye-opening numbers about that stuff too. And so if they are not actually put at risk health-wise, and if the idea of, you know, spread of the virus is basically a moot point already, right? Let's be realistic about this. These guys, even if they're not playing in games, are not going to be abiding by other stuff anyway. There is a realism to all of this in terms of how we live in 2022 that involves testing less and therefore finding out less often who actually has this thing at any given moment.
I guess it's rare that people have sympathy for athletes, given that I am a former athlete. I find myself in that position alone often, but I don't want to be no damn guinea pig. Like, to me, that feels a bit unfair, where we're projecting these things that we don't really know, and the people who are going to find out the answer to us, and like, we don't know the long-term impacts on people's health. We don't know all of those things. So like, I'm doing everything I can do to keep myself and my family safe. And I guess if I were a player at that young age, I probably would be gung-ho about playing. But as like, say I'm a parent of a player or a spouse of a player, I feel a whole lot different about things.
No, everybody should and I believe will and does have the right to withdraw from playing, right? The question is that a thing, is that a calculus, a trade-off that you yourself want to make? I mean, this, by the way, is the question that all of us are going to be making in 2022, more or less. And so I have great sympathy because I contemplate this stuff as well for myself, certainly.
Yeah, but the moral quandary between the defeatism and sort of inevitabilism of everybody's going to get it and whether or not people should be out there, like, that's only really happening in sports. You've got Broadway canceling shows left and right, you know what I'm saying? Because people are just like, we're not doing it. I realize that's inside, but when you think about these teams, I'm not comfortable with, well, everybody's going to get it, so we should let these dudes who we think are the best athletes get through it. Yeah. That to me strikes me as just a little too flippant from a science standpoint from it.
There's a nuance, right? So what you do, I mean, this is what Dr. Allen was saying is, right? So the weekly regular tests for asymptomatic vax athletes, those guys don't need to be tested every week in that way. But people who have had COVID exposures, people who have tested positive, people who are unvaccinated, they need to be tested more often. And the whole point is the only way to get through this pandemic, because cases are now a pretty useless metric.
Yeah.
That's the reality of this, is that vaccination and vax mandates, that's the other part of his plan. Everybody needs to get vaccinated and boosted. That is what fully vaccinated means at this point. That's how we go forward through this thing. And once you're vaccinated, the whole idea beyond that is now we play the odds. And if you're uncomfortable, don't go to work. But for those who want to keep going to work,
next topic?
That's where we are. I hear you.
Fox is depressed. Fox wants to go see Spider-Man, and he can't go.
Did my cautious optimism not infect you, Dominique?
No, it did not.
I just want to hang out with Santa.
Santa.
For the Santa, record, Santa, you guys are excellent.
Santa does not put raisins in the potato salad, FYI.
Of course not. East Atlanta. You
don't have to happy yourself, though. It is time to play a game.
Let's do it.
And that game is Whodunit. We'll give you a quote. You guys have a minute. Come together and tell us Whodunit.
What's going on with the Whodunit? I thought we had changed the Whodunit.
We talked about it. I heard that you were complaining, and then it went away, and then it came back. This is a cross show.
Brought back the culturally insensitive Whodunit. There we go. Thank you.
For the record, we're apparently Alabaster. We're anti-white Santa and anti-black Whodunit.
Exactly. No. Why the assumption got to be that the Whodunit is noir? Chill out with that.
It's just so much harder to see this card.
It is very film noir. You, Clinton. It is very film noir. Well played, sir. Right.
First quote. And this is talking to the media. Look, fellas, I apologize if it seems like I was a little short with you after the game. It's not your fault. That was a frustrating game. And your choices are Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Judge,
not one black person, I'll
Bruce
point
Arians,
out.
Or Bill Belichick.
But Bruce Arians does wear a tangle, so there is that to consider.
Bruce Arians groomed with a black quarterback. He was the first, like, I think he was like the first player at Virginia Tech who did that. Yeah.
Bruce Arians also once was the, I think, the country lead or the had the most rushing touchdowns from a quarterback position in college football.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good Bruce Arians.
He's got black?
Question mark? Facts?
Black adjacency metrics.
Standing invite to the cookout at all times.
Yes. And he's very progressive in his hiring practices and conscious of it. It's not just like whatever. He's like, no, I'm going out to do this specifically. I already know the answer, so I'm feeling this
time with
other interesting things about Bruce Arians' black.
Let me ask you a question though. Speaking of this, I don't know that I know the sound of Joe Judge's voice. So like, even if I heard this by myself, I don't know that I'd be able to indicate that it was Joe Judge, even though I already know who it is.
Yeah, Joe Judge's voice.
You're not missing out.
Okay, good.
I don't know. It's probably, I suspect it's higher than you would expect. My guess, it's like a higher pitch than you would expect.
I don't spend a lot of time watching Giants pressers, so.
And you shouldn't.
Good.
Yeah. Bill Belichick is the answer.
I'll just start
off
final
answer.
Look, fellas, I apologize if, you know, I seemed like I was a little short with you after the game. You know, it's not your fault. That was a frustrating.
Who is this man? Who is this kinder, more sensitive, more thoughtful, more forthcoming Bill? Right. I feel like something's gone wrong in his life where all of a sudden he's communicating to people that he's never talked to before.
That is called something going right.
Okay.
Somebody got a hold of him and is teaching him to have feelings and how to get in touch with your feelings and also to validate other people's feelings, take responsibility. Like somebody with some power. Somebody who offers him something that he wants has gotten control of his life and has helped him see a better part of himself. And I respect it and appreciate it.
Happy holidays.
So because I follow Bill Belichick's girlfriend on Instagram,
I can consent. I was talking about his son. Like his son on the roster. Like that's how I learned, is because I have to validate my children's feelings.
I was thinking about what Pablo said, so please continue, sir.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 0-1 so far on showing you my phone, so I'm not going to do that. But just know that he's like definitely living a younger, healthier, more balanced life.
Balance. That's what we're calling.
I will not stand for this. I will not stand for this. You have anything to say that is not going to make me uncomfortable, Clinton? If not, we can go to the next one.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to ask: Is this a situation where this partner is somebody whom you would look at and say, is that a partner or is this just his partner? Like, is this person, I don't know. What does this person look
like? You know, I will say Bill Belichick, obviously a white Santa Claus household. Bill Belichick really does thread the needle in terms of, wow, doing great for yourself, but also seemingly not making others uncomfortable by having to do the math that Clinton was just rightfully asking about.
Right. Okay.
I think you know, the optics are strong. Belichick, I think is in a good place. In every way.
Nope. You almost pulled me into this pit of foolishness. Next topic.
All right. Next quote. I always said that if I played American football, I'd be a cornerback. I use my ball hawk abilities. And your choices are Ricky Rubio, Giannis, Joel Embiid, or Anthony Edwards.
Well, I mean, the obvious hint here is that he says American football, which takes Anthony Edwards off the list.
Good clue.
Good job. Good context clue usage right
there. Detective
work. You're the MVP right now.
You know, I'm doing my best. I don't think this would be – this to me reads like Giannis, because Giannis always has interesting usage of the word I whenever he talks about himself. Embiid is a little bit less sort of pronoun here. This just sounds to me like something Giannis would say.
He's so big, though. Like, I mean, I guess maybe he doesn't know.
Delusional.
Maybe he's not really familiar with how the setups work. Right.
Yeah, you are a tight end, pass rusher, maybe. Like, you're 7 feet tall. You can't play corner. Sorry, buddy.
So do we think if there's any chance that it's Ricky Rubio? I feel like Ricky Rubio
Rubio is the only one who's actually close to cornerback
size. Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like something that Ricky Rubio always says. Right? He's saying, you're really boasting about this all the time? It feels like a thing that Embiid would do, because it always feels like Embiid is trying to remind you that he's always been telling you how great he is.
I don't know. Embiid wouldn't pick cornerback, though.
I don't think so either, right?
Would pick quarterback.
Yes. That's a good call.
All right. Are we leaning Giannis then?
I'm leaning Giannis.
Yeah, we'll go with Clinton because of his context clue usage.
Yep. Good whodunit-ing.
Saw you on that interception.
Oh, what?
Was trying to inbound it at the end and your reaction was different than other nights. Is that because of the opponent?
That was a free safety play. That wasn't a corner
play. Has been going
play.
Through lately. Sure. How happy you were after that steal?
I always said that if I play, you know, American football, that I'll be a cornerback. So, you know, I use my ball hawk abilities.
So I feel like I need to better know sometimes, like, what point of the broadcast or telecast these comments come at. Had I known it was an on-court comment to a television person, might have leaned a little closer to Embiid because he does say crazy stuff like that.
Yes, I played with Lenny Walls in Denver. And
ooh, really?
Yeah.
The tallest cornerback in NFL history at 6'5". I did not know that this man has that record.
Yeah. Lenny Walls, great person. Also too tall to play cornerback. it's a tough thing to do when you're that long. Right. When you're that long, you got to win at the line of scrimmage. Because once you get down the field, people are shaking and moving. You can't get your feet going in that direction. Like, that's
tough. Dominique, if you were 6'5", what position would you have played?
Small forward.
I was gonna say point guard. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not playing football. You think I'm going to smacking at people when I could? Oh, this athleticism at 6'5"? Oh, I'm giving it to him. Working on my jumper.
When's the last time you actually played basketball? Is the hoop still up in backyard of Foxworth?
Yeah,
it's still there.
Was it against me? Was that time we played and got to 21 and we're in stalemate for a long time because I'm an underrated athlete, Dominique. Is that what we're referring
you
to?
You are not an underrated athlete.
Next topic, Alabaster.
Oh my God.
I think know people that will validate that I am an underrated athlete.
Right.
Got 121. It was so hard.
We got one more quote.
Really hard.
One more quote, and this is about maybe underrated athletes or replacement players in the NBA. And our quote is...
I wasn't sure if you were left-handed or right-handed while we were playing.
I got a couple of calls from people, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You can't play anymore. I told one of them that you can't play basketball. What are you talking about? A round of golf? And your choices are Steve Kerr, Doc Rivers, Steve Nash, or Jason Kidd.
Okay, so the idea presumably here is that an NBA coach is looking for players to fill their roster because
they need replacement guys now because of the COVID shortage.
And this is presumably a coach talking to other guys trying to come out of retirement to play for him, right?
Yeah, I feel like this has to be a coach that's doing well.
That's
like,
what I was going to say, yeah.
A losing coach is not out here or a coach under a significant amount of pressure. I'm not sure. Steve Nash, they're doing well. But I feel like he's not comfortable enough yet. He's in his second year. They're dealing with a lot of injuries and COVID protocol. Doc Rivers is underachieved the last couple of seasons. I'm not thinking that. And Jason Kidd, I feel like they aren't playing well enough for him to be in jokey mood.
No. He's just, it's good. He's just not that funny either. You know what I'm saying? Like this to
That's
me,
fair.
Your point of deduction is I'm with you here. I think this is A, Fox, for sure.
All right. Pablo, All right. You good with that?
Alabaster, let's find out. A, final answer. Made a terrible mistake.
He is funny. He is funny.
Two mistakes. We forgot that Dr. Riz is hilarious and also that he does not give a crap about how bad he is at his job. He will say anything, no matter how hot the seat is he is sitting on.
I appreciate how Doc Rivers is talking about delusional players, why he is being delusional about the consistency of his hair. Like, I love a shiny shape up. That is the best thing ever. When you are still getting the shape up and it's shiny, it gives me so much joy.
Wow.
Look at that shine. That is a bald man shine. You can't get shine like that if you got some thickness.
Yo, what unit of measurement do you use to measure the length of Doc's hair?
Listen, like, hold on.
Microgram?
Hold on. Let me explain something to you.
That's a point one.
As somebody that hangs around a lot of old black dudes all the time for a lot of different reasons, I see this frequently. You don't say anything. They just know how far to go down so that you keep some level of respectability within yourself. Doc knows that everybody knows what's going on. This is just for him to be able to get up in the morning and look at himself in the mirror and get these jokes off because he knows he's not ready to come home. You know what I mean?
I think
but he still got something.
the fact that it's consistently sparse makes it better.
Yes.
I think it's bad when it is sparse up here and then all of a sudden it's strong on the sides. Like, he got lucky. Like, if you're going to get, if you're going to start losing it, you want it to be, oh no, it's really
no,
bad,
but
right,
Dominique,
down the middle.
Y'all, what's terrible?
They are not stopping the run. They are not stopping the run.
So when we
no
were,
run stoppers.
No double A gap nonsense around here. Yo.
No. They are blitzing off the edge only.
The issue there is almost opacity, right? Like when I was, it reminds me of like trying to get curtains for Violet's room because you were like, look, we need to like get it so the room could be super dark. We can't let light through. Doc's hair is the curtains that we could not buy. The sun just goes right through it, even though there's theoretically something there.
Y'all are going to talk about Glenn Doc Rivers' hair like this on
my
Al Gore's internet.
My ends are not rushing like they used to right in here. But man, Aaron Donald's holding it down in the middle. He's keeping it strong up the gut.
I've gotten caught with a couple false starts on my
lines. Yeah, these tackles, man. You know, we need to go look for some tackles in the draft.
Trying
to
holding in the draft. 10-yard penalty on the offense.
I'm out here trying to gain an advantage, you know what I'm saying? Jumping the snap.
I'm looking for a nice Rashawn Slater to come in and fortify these edges. If you know one, let me know.
Y'all are terrible.
Oh man.
What's next?
All right, there's nothing else to say about that.
No.
I think Doc Rivers is going to send us an angry letter. I'm sorry, Doc.
I didn't say nothing. It wasn't
Doc.
When Doc works
at ESPN with us, it's going to be awkward, but until then, we're good.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to shake his hand.
Luckily, he's tall.
Good.
All right, guys, it's time for another game. That game is If Then. We'll give you a conditional statement. You guys fill it out. First one, if the Seahawks win their third game in a row to get to 6-8 tonight, then blank.
If the Seahawks win their third game in a row to get to 6-8, then the prophecy is on its way to being fulfilled. What is the weirdest possible end to the Seahawks season? I said this earlier this year. It comes down to week 18, right? Like, they're in this, and it comes down to the new week that no team has ever played in, and it comes down as close as it can possibly get, and it is as painful as it could possibly get. This is where this is headed. They're going to be 9-8, and it's going to be real close.
Hold on. You think the Seahawks are going to win six games in a row?
Well,
three games.
I mean,
9-8.
They got the Rams coming up. That's tough.
Hold on.
PM game.
Four games in a row. Sorry.
And then they have the Bears and the Lions, which are very winnable games.
Hold on. They won three straight to get to 6-8. So if they get to 9-8, they will have to win two more.
If they win on Sunday, they will be 6-8, and they'll have to win three more to get to the level of
So that's six games in a row. That's what
you're
saying.
Hypothetically, I don't think. Oh yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think this team is winning six games in a row. I just don't see that happening at this stage with the quality of talent on that roster. I mean, you know, great.
Yeah, they'll
get to 6-8, and I guess that'll make them the best 6-8 team in the league in their minds or whatever. But like, you know, come on, like that's too much to ask in a COVID year, in my personal opinion, for a team with that level of talent on the roster.
So depressing. They're trying to get to 6-8. That's
right.
Just so disappointing. I mean, I guess the injury to their quarterback is part of the reason to explain this, but he don't want to be there anymore. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything they can do to make their future look bright because they traded away all their draft picks for a safety who isn't even playing well. So, like, it's probably bad to trade away two first-rounders for a safety. It's very bad to trade away two first-rounders for a player who's not performing and then have a disgruntled superstar quarterback who wants out like that. It's looking really grim over there. And a coach who maybe it's just because he's older, but it feels like the game's passed him by.
Older? He's the oldest in the league. Okay.
I know, but I guess I'm saying if he were a young coach, I wouldn't. I doubt I would say the game is passed him by. I would say something different about him not being a very good coach. I'm just saying the fact that he's old is probably the reason why the first like cliche that comes to mind to use in this moment in my quiver full of cliches is game has passed
got
by.
It. Yeah.
Just the Boom. Hawkeye of cliches is what the podcast
Hawkeye.
Is.
Hawkeye is great.
Dominique pantomiming, shooting an arrow. Oh, it's great.
Separate question, Fox. Have you ever been in one of those chambers like Russell Wilson has in his house? Those things that you get in to like cure yourself? That's not something you've ever done?
hyperbaric? Is that what he has?
I wanted to. I didn't want to botch it. I think it's a hyperbaric.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, only chambers I heard of is hyperbaric and cryogenic. I'm pretty sure he's not getting a cryogenic, but I think it's hyperbaric. I've never been in one, but like I had plenty of teammates who had them and would like bring them back when we used to go to like training camp and you have to like stay on a college dorm.
Yeah.
I remember seeing like, I think it was, might have been Ray or Ed. One of them had like a portable joint.
That's Ray Lewis and Ed Reed for the listener.
Two knees down. Portable, but Jesus.
Had like a portable joint, which was like incredible. It was like a spaceship, and I was not trying to get into it. I'm generally skeptical person, which like I've lost a lot of money when I should have listened to my business school friends in 2013 and got in on this crypto stuff.
What's the biggest investment, Dominique, that you're I messed this up?
There are several. I can tell you like Whoop, the starter, the guy who started that company, like he asked me to come work for them out of business school.
Did they just go get evaluated at like $1 billion?
Yeah, I'm like, don't nobody want this. And it was like options or whatever. He's like, you want to invest? Nah, I don't nobody want these wearable foolishness. Get out of my face with that nonsense. What's that?
Damn.
The podcast company that sold not too long ago. I passed on that one too.
Oh, God. Whoop, by the way, just valued at $3.6 billion. Just
hold on. I would be remiss not to say, did I hear a crypto reference? Did you sneak that in? Is that what I heard?
Oh, no.
Crypto, yeah, bro?
I'm not a crypto bro. I despise crypto bros, but I'm saying that I wish I didn't in 2013 there's like three of my classmates who are like actually literal billionaires right now. Who were not billionaires when I knew them, and they were like talking to me like, hey, why don't you get in on this? And I'm like, man, I came to business school to learn about real stuff. If I wanted to get involved in a scam, I could have stayed at home. Like, get out of here with this foolishness. And then a few months later,
scammers rule the world. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're like, actually, I am a businessman, not a businessman.
Right.
Yeah, get out of here.
The thing was, what I didn't realize was, if you get in on that scam early enough,
you can get out.
Win. Then
yeah,
you win.
As the 199th person to join Facebook who has made $0 off of Facebook, I feel
ooh,
that.
Yeah, so you got me trumped.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. Zuckerberg's wife lived in my dorm and used to hang out with us, and I just laughed.
Put the sick name drop card back. Pablo's here name dropping billionaires' wives.
It's just the saddest. Yeah, I mean,
his name drop, though, is like something that you, not sure, given these days.
Yeah, oh no, I'm not, I don't, no, no, we haven't talked in a long time, for the record.
Okay,
yeah,
for the record, yeah, yes, yeah, let the record stay.
It's because he won't return your call. Stop acting like if Zucking sends you a PJ to come hang with him,
you will be on
the first thing smoking out there talking about how much you love the metaverse.
Yeah, I'd be wearing 5 layers of suntan lotion on my face on that weird board that he serves.
That thing is so creepy, dude. I do not understand that thing. Anyway.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You've never seen that video of surfboard? He's got one of those like surfboards that like surfs on air because it's like a half wakeboard with like all this weird stuff. Yeah, it's bizarre.
He
posted a video.
Dominique is old, as the card says.
Correct.
This is what he looks like. Yeah.
Oh,
see all that suntan.
Zuck got some yams.
Yeah, got some yams though.
You try poking out. Great point. Zuck, he's squatting more. Trying to poke it out. Don't toot that thing, Zuck. Don't toot that thing.
I've forgotten how long it's been
Mark
since I've done any
Zuckerberg
shows with
has a wagon, guys. I did not know that.
Oh,
damn.
You didn't. Don't play dumb. Don't play dumb. You've been nuked. You've been nuked about that. You just putting us on to it.
This could be the whodunit card. This could be the
get that out of here. No.
Yes. Yes, no! The new who did it card.
Not doing
it. Oh my!
Is that mayonnaise all over his face? That's disgusting.
Oh, but why? God. But why? I don't understand why you need that much protection. If you need that much protection, you need to be in a building.
You're
somewhere.
In the wrong place, right?
That's how I feel. If I ever am going to a party and they're like, man, make sure you bring your bulletproof. I'm like, no, I don't need to go to that party.
No, so Mark
if I feel like I need to wear a pound of mayonnaise on my face to leave the house, Then I'm gonna be like,
I'm staying in the crib. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. The spectrum of opacity goes from Doc Rivers' hair to Mark Zuckerberg's suntan lotion level of his face.
Yes. Man, I could sleep in that room.
Yes.
Hmm.
If then?
All right, one more topic?
Yes.
Why not?
All right. If Jalen Hurts struggles against the Washington football team tonight, then blank.
They're nothing. The guy's a young quarterback.
They lose, I guess.
Yeah, what's the big deal? Like, they lose. He's a young quarterback. That team, look, I say this all the time, Fox. Quarterback is the worst coach position in the league. I don't know why expectations are so high on every player all the time when development is not stressed as something to make guys better. If you don't walk in and immediately look like Justin Herbert, all of a sudden guys are like, he's a bust. He ain't doing it week to week. They've got to learn. It's professional football. It's not that easy.
Yeah, I mean, that you may be right, but you sound like a level-headed individual. If the pressure, I understand that the evaluation is too aggressive and too soon, but it has to be there because the pressure is there also. Like, nobody gets that time to develop. So maybe you can change the formula for how teams assess quarterbacks, but if you are a highly drafted person, you get a little bit longer. If you're not, the leash is short. Jalen Hurts is not. So we have the stats up for Minshew right now, who also, the leash is short for him too. Like, I hate to burst anyone's bubble who is on the Minshew train or the Jalen Hurts train, but there's nothing that either of those quarterbacks can do in the coming weeks to stop the Eagles from drafting another quarterback with one of their three first round picks coming
exactly.
up.
Like, exactly.
Stop it. Y'all can't do nothing. Jalen Hurts gonna have to throw for 600 yards a week for the rest of the season in order for them to consider not spending one of these picks on a first round quarterback.
Yeah, they're less trains and more like the teacups ride, where you just sort of like spinning around and around, and it's fun and a diversion. But then actually, they go and get the real starter. Good metaphor, guys. Right? High five to myself. So to point out something about the context of this game, they are both 6-7, right? So like beyond the future, the present is also kind of on the line. Like one of these teams is going to be second in that division behind the Cowboys. The wild card hunt, yes. Washington winning means they are the seventh place team in the NFC at 7-7. So I think more than anything, what you're going to get is a lot of bad Philly sports talk radio. And my God, those people do not have the same Santa Clauses that Dominique.
I was going to say, this is right up there with calling Santa Claus black or whatever. You don't have to say bad Philly sports talk radio. You can just say Philly sports talk radio. And you've made the point.
We do not need the attitude.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. That's
yeah,
a good point.
I guess I'm not one who's like championship or bust. I understand the idea of progress and getting better and blah, blah, blah. And also, if you get into the playoffs for that team, that means a lot more money, which – I mean, matters to somebody somewhere, just not me. But it's hard for me to look at either of these teams and feel like this is a stepping stone going forward. I think that's part of the reason why you can celebrate a team that is not winning a championship. You're like, man, they are improving. This doesn't feel like much of an improvement for, I mean, the Washington won the division last year. And I think Philly got in the playoffs too, didn't they? Or that was the year before. Either way, neither of them seem like this is the roster that's going to get them to the promised land. So it doesn't seem like progress, even if they sneak in and get the seventh seed. Maybe they get an upset and keep going, but these aren't the rosters that they want. These aren't the quarterbacks at either place that they want long term. So it'll be interesting to see what happens because we all love football, but I'm not sure the outcome of this game or the performance of Jalen Hurts is going to have much bearing on the rest of the season or next.
So that was a good answer, but Dominique also threw in the phrase, we all love football, which tells me that we're kind of running close to the bottom of anything we have to say about football, Alabaster. So where are we in the show?
Well, hold on. If Minshew has another good game, is he going to severely injure his father? Because that handshake exchange they had where he popped him in the chest like 5 times in a row just in order to dap him up after he had a great game, that was shocking to me.
That was intense.
After a game, Fox, I always go to you with this because, hi, you're the football player. Have you ever hit your dad that hard after a game because you were so fired up that you wanted to dap him up that you needed to punch him in the chest 3 or 4 times?
Yeah. I mean, my dad is not a bro. Yeah. Like, he was never a bro. Like, it feels like, and I'm not a bro. I was never a bro. Like, it just doesn't feel like something that even when my dad was in his 20s, he would ever do. And it's something that when I was in my 20s, like, I would not walk. Like, that's just not how I celebrate. It's more,
you know what your dad would call you, Dominique, if you did try to do that? A big dummy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God. You guys ready for this bonus topic?
Yes, let's do it.
You big dummy.
So, you big dummy.
This is a gift, so I couldn't print it out, but this comes from Mr. Bighead, and this is I'm going to try and bring it closer to the camera.
Oh,
this is Pablo transforming into Santa Claus.
Whoa! Wow. I thought that was Tim Allen. So, again, for the podcast audience, someone has taken Tim Allen from The Santa Claus, I believe that movie is, and really done a great job of deepfaking my face.
I was going to say, there's a lot of deepfake energy here, and I don't love
my future.
I don't love being in that pool of deep fakes. That's not for me. It's not good for business.
I am going to text Pablo something right now, and Clinton, I would like you in 5 seconds to tell us what your favorite Christmas movie is, okay? Can you do that?
Sure, but I don't know that I have one. I'll think about it.
Awaiting receipt.
Okay. All right, you got the text. Let's see what happens. Clinton. Yep. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
I'm just going to say this because it's coming to mind right now. Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh, man. I guess Die Hard. I knew it was going to be something obscure. I guess Die Hard.
Die Hard?
Yeah, I assume that you were a guy who thought Die Hard was a Christmas movie. Do you not think Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
Why would I care about Die Hard?
Clinton, the version of you that is wearing the backwards cap in the poster definitely loves Die Hard.
No, that version loves Die Hard with a vengeance that features black man cussing his face off, Sam Jackson, okay? Understand what you're dealing with. You know your boy Yeehaw likes to yell, so I like the ones with the black dudes who yell a lot. Ain't none of them in Die Hard.
Oh, so are you the sports media's version of Samuel Jackson? That's you?
It's the hops and the barley. It'll get you drunk.
I think Stephen A. is Sam Jackson of sports media.
Correct.
Yeah, you can have that.
Correct.
Oh, Dominique, you asked before if I'm a lefty or a righty. I'm a righty for most things.
Good night. Oh, good night, you big dummy.
I hate him. Get him off of this.